The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 11th of April, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning. Did you survive the holiday weekend? I am grateful for the rain this morning, for it washed away all of the memories of food over the weekend. Like, if I don't remember that I ate it, then maybe the calories won't set upon my body. Like, if I forgot that I consumed it, maybe my body will forget that we ate copious amounts of food that we should not have been eating. And so I have to start off today's show with a quick shout out to Bay Gon, aka the Todd Man, aka Money on the Ground, aka DeVito Bodie, aka Bodie the Baker. Now, I guess y'all know what I'm going to talk about. It's time for us to have a hot cross bun competition in the Bahamas, people. See, when things are important to you, you build up culture around it so you could ensure that you entrench it into the minds and the lives of future generations. So when I saw the sign that said plain raisin or coconut, I was like, yeah, this could be good. When I took a bite and I tasted coconut in the hot cross bun, I was like, yeah, this is different. I may get my passport pulled, but this is great, coconut in the hot cross bun. But I took another bite. Mr. Bagon, why did you put a dollop of coconut tart inside the hot cross bun? Why did you do this to me? You inspired my whole weekend. This was fantastic. At the same time, it was horrible because I may have eaten six or seven too many hot cross buns. But what it led me to remember is we are great in this country, and we need to create ways to acknowledge, highlight, and entrench that idea of greatness in the minds of our people. So I also have to say good morning and thank you to Mr. David Harris, owner of Faded Gradients Barbershop, that made these heavenly, no pun intended and not making fun at Easter time, but these heavenly hot cross buns. Available in the East at the very least, because, you know, I hop and I can't hop far, but I was able to make it there. So good morning, Bagon. Good morning to all of the people that ensured that we had hot cross buns for the Easter holiday. This is also an important part of keeping culture. I want to say good morning to my guest co-host this morning, Mr. Nuri. How are you doing?
It's always good to be on your show, Erin. Thank you very much. I'm excited about today's show.
Yes.
Yes, especially people who like spend money like me. So I'm glad that you have the show today, and I'm going to ask some questions.
I like how you said that. You like to spend money like you, because I figured you are a working man and you have a wife and children. You just learn to like it.
The end of the month can't come too quick. It needs to come now because that holiday weekend,
yeah,
taxing.
Absolutely.
It was taxing. But I'm good. I'm good.
It's like I said, it's a good thing we have all of this rain to wash away these memories of the weekend. And just a quick note, I have to talk to my Bahamian people for a second. I have to ask us, you ever wake up in the morning and wonder what am I doing here? Like, because when I was being born, right? I'm an African. I was supposed to be born in Africa, but my mother insisted on being in the Bahamas. I couldn't change her mind. And so here we are. But you ever ask yourself, what are we doing here? Like, how do you live in the tropics, but you don't understand how rain works? How do you live in the tropics, but you panic at the thought of rain, water, puddles splashing on you or your car? And then some of you all are not afraid at all. How do you live in the tropics and you stand in the rain in front of the puddle next to the road? Do you not expect to get wet? And why would you try to cross the road next, like near to the pedestrian crossing, but not on it? And then once I came to a full stop, I realized you couldn't cross the road on the pedestrian crossing because somebody decided to park their truck right on the other side of the pedestrian crossing. I just want to say to my Bahamian people, it's not going to stop raining. We must begin to adapt to where we are. We got to practice spatial awareness, critical thinking. The rain is here for good. There's nothing we could do about it. Let us just prepare ourselves to navigate in the rain, but not just to navigate in the rain, to navigate with spatial awareness, critical thinking, and empathy. That's care and concern for others and how our actions impact others. These are the things we're going to need to pick up to move into the 21st century. As you could see, we've got the academics, we've got the athletes. We got to bring in the soft skills now to continue to build our country and take advantage of all of the resources we have available to us. And Mr. Nuri, like you said, we are ready for an exciting conversation.
Yes, we are.
Joining us this morning, we have representatives from the Central Bank of the Bahamas Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. And today is going to be the first of a series of conversations about Sand Dollar and its growing role in the Bahamian economy. Joining me this morning, Mr. Brett Lashley, head of the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit, and Miss Newton. I'll ask both of you to introduce yourselves and tell us just a brief bit about what you do at Central Bank and with the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. Thanks for having us this morning. Excited to be here. My name is Brett Lashley. I'm a deputy manager in the currency department at the Central Bank of the Bahamas, where we focus on, in our case, the bank's digital currency, so the Sand Dollar. I head the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit, mm-hmm. But I also work quite a bit with the wider currency team. So as you can imagine, everything to do with banknotes, coins, numismatic products, those are your gold and silver coins, our department deals with as well. But today we are focused on Sand Dollar.
Mr. Nuri, he deals with banknotes. We're going to get a Chikchani on one of these bills.
Yes.
We will get it on one of these bills.
Yes.
If not the Chikchani, the Lutzka.
Yes.
And on that note, you guys, I want you to stay tuned all week. We're going to have giveaways this week. And starting next week, we're going to have special Sand Dollar giveaways. And this gentleman here is going to make sure we could put the Lutzka, the Chikchani on one of those notes, Mr. Nuri. Please go on.
Yeah, and so we have a new team that we're building out, and Ms. Newton is part of that. She's an assistant manager. I'll allow her to introduce herself.
Yes.
Good morning. Yes, I'm Sheandra Newton. I am an assistant manager of product outreach in the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. So my job is to help with increasing Sand Dollar adoption among merchants and consumers in the Bahamas.
This is awesome. This is awesome. And so we're going to have an introductory conversation about Sand Dollar today, and then we are going to spend some time talking about the annual financial literacy fair and a new component of the fair this year, the Digital Payments Expo.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be fantastic. So, Mr. Nuri, I think we just start at the top. What is Sand Dollar?
There you go, Aaron. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so Sand Dollar is the digital currency of the Central Bank of the Bahamas. It is Bahamian digital currency. So for those who are unfamiliar, digital currency is just what it sounds like. It is currency issued by a central bank or monetary authority. In our case, the Sand Dollar is issued and backed by the Central Bank of the Bahamas. It is one-to-one with Bahamian dollars. Just as you have cash in your wallet, you can now have digital cash in your digital wallet.
So in short, is digital currency is real money? The Sand Dollar is real money?
It is real money. It is issued by the Central Bank of the Bahamas through authorized financial institutions. So just in the same way that the Central Bank of the Bahamas issues banknotes and coins to commercial banks, we issue out sand dollars as well to these authorized financial institutions.
All right. So what is the difference between like sand dollar and traditional money?
The only difference is that it exists in a digital form.
All right.
So again, you can withdraw cash, from your bank account. You can move cash into your digital wallet. There's no difference otherwise. It's the same as spending cash.
Now, sometimes when I raise the word, when I use the word sand dollar, that's cryptocurrency. I don't want no cryptocurrency. What's the difference between sand dollar and cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, that's a great question. So cryptocurrencies are unregulated. I think they've come out of this movement for decentralized finance. So they are not backed by a central bank or a monetary authority. Cryptos, as we've seen, for those who kind of follow that crypto space, very volatile. They're speculative investments. The value of something like Bitcoin fluctuates and Ethereum and all of these other cryptos. So digital currency is not that.
Yeah.
Still utilizes the blockchain. So people may have heard of the blockchain and this digital ledger that keeps track of transactions. But the similarities really stop there because, again, sand dollar or a central bank digital currency is issued by a central bank, whereas a cryptocurrency is not.
Okay.
I'm a blogger, right? And as a blogger, we get exposed to new words. The new trending word now is fiat, right? So, is that fiat or not? The Bahamian dollar is fiat, this and that. And with sand dollar, there are a number of persons saying, is that fiat? Can you explain what fiat is?
Yes,
and then, is the sand dollar a fiat?
Sand dollar is fiat. And again, fiat is issued and backed by a regulating authority. So in this case, the central bank. And again, cryptos, because they are not issued by any centralized authority, they have no backing.
Mm-hmm.
They're again speculative and volatile. Those are not fiat. So when we speak of fiat, we're essentially speaking of money that is issued by an issuing authority, a central authority.
Mm-hmm. So my conch coin is backed by like Aragonite and Sea Grape. My conch coin backed by Aragonite and Sea Grape, you're telling me that's more going to be more like a cryptocurrency.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because, okay, I'm working on it, Mr. Nuri.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
And just to throw a wrench, right, the Bahamian dollar, right? There are a number of persons said, but the Bahamian dollar is one-to-one to the U.S. dollar, right? But we don't understand how that is. Is it floating? Is it something that the central bank did to our money, which in turn is happening to the cryptocurrency, the sand dollar, because they're all connected. But what does this one-to-one means?
Yeah, so, I don't want to get too far into,
Then forgive me for that question, but just to know the value of money.
We maintain a one-to-one peg, right, to the U.S. dollar. So, obviously, you hear conversations about the reserves, the amount of foreign reserves we have. To maintain the peg, right? You want to maintain that one-to-one exchange. That is something that, the central bank, one of their key functions is maintaining that one-to-one peg with the U.S. dollar. So just in the same way that the Bahamian dollar is a one-to-one with the U.S. dollar, same with sand dollar.
That's what I wanted to hear.
It is one-to-one. It is convertible to Bahamian dollars in cash, and therefore the same
That's
way
great.
It's convertible one-to-one to
right,
cash.
So I don't lose any money on the exchange.
The value is always going to be one-to-one with the U.S. dollar in the same
now,
way.
Can I make interest? Like, I don't make interest when I save my money with my mummy, but can I make interest on my sand dollars?
No, you cannot. It's not anything that you invest in where you can lose money on, make more money on. In fact, I was looking in my bag for my wallet. If I had a physical dollar, I would be holding it up because it's literally cash on your phone. It's digital. It's
all right.
So different.
Now, are there any fees associated? Again, like my mother's banking system is very complicated. To see my money, I have to pay a fee.
Mm-hmm.
To talk to her about my money, I have to pay a fee.
Mm.
Is it the same with the sand dollar.
The beautiful thing about sand dollar is it's just like having the cash in your physical wallet or your hand. Mm-hmm. So once you have that in your wallet, in your digital wallet, there are no fees for individuals to hold money in their digital wallet. There are no fees for sending money to another individual. For merchants who are transacting in sand dollar, they may have some fees associated with the financial institution that's providing their sand dollar kind of merchant services. So in the same way merchants may have an arrangement with, you know, RBC for, you know, being able to accept credit and debit. They may have, you know, some arrangement for their payroll services. A merchant may decide that they want to engage in AFI for various services with sand dollar. And so there may be various fees associated with that. But for you as an individual to hold money in your sand dollar wallet, there are no fees.
When I use my debit card, right, some institutions say, oh, I got to spend $10 in order to use that. Now, using the sand dollar, same way I use my sand dollar, is there like a limit to say, well, you got to be spending $10 worth of my sand dollar to buy something?
No, and again, that's one of the great things about sand dollar. And you know, one of the ways I personally use sand dollars for very small transactions, right? You know, let's say at our work cafeteria, where the lunches are just under $3, we pay in sand dollar. If my coworker, you know, offers to go and get me, you know, a coffee in the morning from Starbucks, said, you know, it was $2 and change, and I don't have the change on me. I pay him back in sand dollar. Mm-hmm. You know, someone, you know, needs $3 for something. Again, I don't have $3 $1 bills on me, but I can send them $3 in sand dollar. So I love sand dollar for small transactions in particular, and there's no minimum amount.
Whether peer to peer, like I'm sending money to Mr. Nuri because he bought me lunch and I want to pay him back, or peer to business. Peer-to-business if they are a participating vendor, right? I can make small transactions.
Yep.
This is awesome. Yep. Now, what about tipping?
Yeah, that's one of the things we hope to get into pretty soon. You know, we don't want to preempt any official announcement, but that is a great use case as well. You know, you think of the packet boy at the supermarket or the attendant at the gas station. You want to give them $2, but you only have a 10 on you, and you don't want to give them that whole $10.
Yeah.
So here's a way now you can say, hey, I can tip you a sad dollar. Here's $2. Here's $3.
Yeah, and one of the big questions you hear a lot of people ask is, well, I have my debit and credit card. Why do I need to use sand dollar? Really think about those scenarios where you are typically going to be using cash, you know, and you can definitely use sand dollar for your larger purchases. But typically, there are certain types of transactions where, you know, you're pulling out cash quickly, you know, and sand dollar really is a great solution, alternative for that, rather.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I see we got a dear caller. Call right back. Coming right to you, Mr. Nuri. We have a text there.
Yeah, but I was answering one text, so give me one second.
Okay, yes, sir.
The person was basically asking whether the sand dollar can be used internationally. Then I'm thinking, wait, the Bahamian dollar is used locally, right?
Exactly.
So why would you... Anyway, but that's... They want to know.
You should think of it the same way as Bahamian cash, right?
Right.
You can only use Bahamian cash here in the Bahamas. Sand dollar is for use here in the Bahamas.
I already see the benefits. I mean, I don't have any children. But if I had a children, I would see the benefits of sort of being able to give you some freedom, but also ensuring that you can book a flight to Florida to go book another flight. Did you know that you could book in the future, in near future, they're saying for $125,000, you could get on a flight to space? Is there a spending limit, right? Like, is there a minimum limit and a maximum limit that I can put on this card?
Ah,
yes, that's a great question. So... Yeah. With sand dollar, there are generally three tiers to the wallets.
Okay.
So at tier one, you know, which is the lowest tier, you can hold up to
$500,
and you can transact in a month up to, I want to say it's $1,000, but you don't need any KYC for a tier one wallet.
Okay.
So anyone, you know, a child, anyone with a phone can open a Tier 1 wallet. All you need is a phone number. You can hold up to $500 in that wallet.
Okay.
That's good to know.
And, you know, great solution for young people in particular, for kids. If you, as you say, you want to give your kids some degree of financial freedom, let's say, and some teach them some responsibility with handling cash, it's a safer option. You know, you don't have to worry about them losing it or, you know, God forbid, being robbed. And the benefit is, again, there's a fully auditable or, you know, you can always view that transaction trail.
Absolutely.
In the wallet, so you can see where they've spent the funds and what they're doing with the money.
All right.
Aaron, I see you have a telephone call here, but I love the idea, but it's Tier 1. Because I have some money and another... what do you call those people who keep your money? On the phone.
I don't know.
No, anyway. And the idea that I didn't have any identification, up-to-date identification, all my money, they're floating, right? But I supposed to have access to my money.
Right.
So I'm glad that you say that the Tier 1, I can get access to this $50 one without worrying about my passport expired and now my money held hostage.
Yeah, you can have up to $500 with, you know, really no questions asked, no identification. And obviously, you know, there's a large part of our population that struggles meeting the KYC requirements for bank accounts and that sort of thing. So this is a great alternative. This is a great solution for those folks in particular who, for various reasons, can't open a bank account or have difficulty meeting the requirements for a bank account.
I need to follow up on that. But I know we need to go to the
We go to call and then we get back to Tier 2 and Tier 3 wallet. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Golly, David Stark, in a way, along with you and your guest, Aaron.
Yes, sir. How are you?
And a godly birthday to you all.
Why, thank you very much.
You're welcome. But I have several questions for the gentleman. My first question is, if I want some Bahamian dollars to be changed and I go to a bank, I got to pay 5 cents on each dollar. If I have even $1,000 and I go to American dollars, if I go to the bank, I get nothing on it, but they take my American dollars. Why don't you all fix that? I asked about it, and they told me about the bank in which you work at, Central Bank.
Okay.
Have to do that.
Bremen.
So my other question is, right?
Yes.
And I want you to answer all my questions. If I go to what you would call a mom and pop store, a petty shop for that matter, right?
Yes.
Can they take, or would they take sand dollar? Are they what you call register set up whereby they are able to take sand dollar? And if not, why not?
All right. So for the first question, Bremen, we are not speaking about money issues generally today. We're speaking specifically to sand dollar and sand dollar adoption unit programming, right? The second question, I could answer that for you. There are a number of small to micro businesses that have already signed up to trade in sand dollar. They are building out, right? They are adding more and more vendors as we speak. Today's show is also about engaging potential vendors and letting them know. So we've already addressed that. And letting them know that this is a space that's available to micro, small, and micro community
businesses. Okay, I understand. My last question is, right?
Yes.
When it comes to sand dollar, right, how high do you go? Like, you know, we could go far as $1 trillion in Bahamian dollars. So how far you go with the sand dollar?
All right, Bremen. So we, just as you were calling, we had started discussing that. And so there are three tiers of wallets, right? There's Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Right. Mr. Lashley is going to reiterate what Tier 1 is, and then we're going to go on to the other two tiers. Thank you so much for calling, Bremen.
Right. So that is a great question, and thank you for asking, Mr. Raymond. So as I was saying, a Tier 1 wallet, you can hold up to $500 at any one time in your wallet, and you can transact up to $1,500 in a month. So you can do up to $1,500 in monthly transactions while holding a maximum of $500 in your digital wallet at any one time. Again, there's no identification or any KYC requirement for a Tier 1 wallet. So anyone can download an app, and we'll get into the details of how to set up a SanDollar wallet. Anyone can download an app and set that up remotely. You don't have to, you know, go in into a branch anywhere or necessarily speak to someone. You can do it all over WhatsApp if you wish to. A Tier 2 wallet, that gives you the ability to hold up to $8,000 and transact up to $10,000 monthly. At that level, for a Tier 2 wallet, you do need to produce some form of government-issued identification. So much like a bank account. But that gives you, obviously, the ability to transact a bit more. So there are some KYC requirements there to ensure that, you know, we have a sense of, well, your AFI, I want to stress that as well. It is not the central bank who is setting up your wallet. It is the financial institution you choose to go with to set up your digital wallet.
All right.
So if you want to set that up with, you know, Canoe, Omni, Cash & Go, SunCash, those are the folks you're going to present your identification to, not the central bank.
Okay.
And then there's the Tier 3, which is the merchant wallet. Obviously, again, if you are a merchant, you'll be asked to provide a bit more KYC, such as maybe a business license, some proof that you are the owner of this company and so forth. But that gives you the ability to transact with no limit and hold up to $1 million at a time in your wallet. So again, much greater flexibility there of how much you can hold and how much you can transact.
All right.
So I'm just trying to make sure I understand, right? The Tier 3 is mostly for businesses who are doing transaction in SanDollar?
Yes. You know, if for some reason you have the need to hold in excess of $8,000 that a Tier 2 wallet is capped at, an individual can speak with their financial institution to set up a Tier 3 wallet with a higher limit. But generally, those Tier 3 wallets are for merchants and businesses.
Absolutely. Okay, so we got a caller on the line, and then let's get into how to set up a wallet, and then let's go to the financial literacy fair.
And also Family Island businesses and small businesses, because I know a lot of fishermen who get paid in cash.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they don't have that KYC. They, Family Island, they don't really care. They're born in the Bahamas, that's that.
Right.
Right? But at the end of the fishing trip, 3 month fishing trip, the owners of the boat find it difficult to get cash now.
Right.
To say, this is your $10,000 or your $8,000 payment. So I want to know more about that and how SanDollar can help them.
Sure.
Let's go ahead.
Yeah, we'll talk briefly about that. But what I'd like to do is ask the audience to send us their questions, particularly Family Islanders, right? Send them in to, I'm putting you on the spot, Mr. Nuri, to Nuri or to Aaron Green. I'll give you all that information before the end of the show so that we could pile them together for a Family Island focus show and give them the time that they need to address their concerns. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, Nuri.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing well. Before I get in, good morning to your guests. Before I get in, we quickly say victory. Congratulations to our swimming team and our track and field team.
Yes, sir.
Now, quickly, I'm going to show the question, then you got to answer it. Mm-hmm. NIB is going to be getting into SanDollar on all these dollars on their app. U.S. going to be digital currency, so would I be able to? I remember Aaron, how you used to trade the U.S. dollar and be even doing the U.S. dollar shop in the U.S.
Yeah.
Or would I be able to do that digitally? You understand the question?
She's saying once the U.S.
Launches even currency, the U.S. currency.
Right. This is saying once the U.S. launches its central bank digital currency, will you be able to trade or exchange, purchase?
Right. Would it be automatically?
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Then my last question, you mentioned the banking institution. All the banking institution on board, like my bank, Bank of the Bahamas, they are on board where I can get these SanDollars onto my app, or I got to go to you mentioned apps. Or do I go to iOS or Play Store? Hope you want to write that down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We will address this.
Write in all damn new.
Yeah, I think I have all of the questions.
All right. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Okay, so I'll try to tackle all of those. The first, I think, was with NIB.
Yeah.
I think we saw during the pandemic that NIB was using what I said was maybe Island Pay or Sun Cash or one of the
several.
Right, they were using the various payment service providers to issue out digital payments for their beneficiaries. Right,
okay.
So that is something that we hope to expand the use of throughout government. Those are conversations that we continue to have to see how we can encourage all of government to be able to accept sand dollars as a form of payment and disperse payments to individuals in sand dollars as well. I think the second question dealt with U.S. digital currency
exchange,
and the ability to exchange. So right now that is not something you can do. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in the future that is a conversation we are having as this space continues to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more and more countries are investigating whether or not a central bank digital currency makes sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would not personally be surprised if that is if that is something we see in the future, that ability to exchange with international currencies. But right now, that is not something you can do. And I think the third question spoke to whether his bank, Bank of the Bahamas in particular, can issue sand dollars. That is something I will say stay tuned for. The commercial banks, the traditional commercial banks, are quickly getting on board into this space. You know, BOB, I think, is a bit closer, I think I can say, than some of the others. And they may be making their own announcement shortly, so I won't speak to that. But he can stay tuned and certainly speak with his commercial bank, whichever bank that is. And, you know, I'd encourage Bahamians to advocate to their banks to get on board, because certainly, you know, a lot of people are familiar with their commercial banks' apps and online presence. And that is something we want to encourage, and that we are moving in that direction. Right now, the AFIs I spoke of that you can get sand dollars from are the likes of Sun Cash, Canoe, Island Pay, Mobile Assist, Money Max, Omni, Cash and Go. You can go to any one of those institutions today, download their app from the iOS or Google Play stores. They all have their wallets that work on both Android and Apple devices. And in short order, you will be able to see your commercial bank getting on board in that space as well.
Now, when I opened up my... So I went to the Play Store, and I found the Sand Dollar Wallet app, right? And I downloaded that to my phone. And a welcome page, right? It says, welcome to Sand Dollar Wallet. Select the onboarding agent you wish to proceed with. So let us begin setting up our wallet quickly.
Perfect.
Right?
Right. So on the app, you will see, and they we call them digital wallet providers.
Right.
So you'll see seven there. And select any one of those, and it will guide you through downloading that particular digital wallet provider's app on their phone, on your phone.
Right.
So once you've downloaded the digital wallet provider's app to your phone, it'll take you through a number of steps. It'll send you like a code, a PIN code where you can set up your code for your digital wallet to protect your digital wallet. And then, again, it takes you through just a couple of steps, just depending on which wallet provider you're using. And it's really simple. It's especially if you're just, because you're starting out with a basic tier one wallet. And so you don't need any KYC or anything like that. And so you can.
And I will just say, if you are using the Sand Dollar branded app. So obviously there on your phone, Aaron, you see Canoe, you see Island Pay, you see Sun Cash and all these others. But there is a Sand Dollar branded app.
Yeah, that's
app.
It there.
Right. That one, you have to be onboarded by Omni. So that is just one thing I want to clarify for folks who may be downloading that particular app.
Right.
Omni is the onboarding agent for that particular app.
Okay.
But obviously you have the option if you want Canoe, you know, Sun Cash, Island Pay, Money Max, any of the others, Mobile Assist, it will prompt you to download their proprietary app. So these institutions have additional features that may appeal to you. So you should explore what they have to offer. You know, if you want, you know, the ability to...
Western Union.
Right.
You know,
if you are a user of something like Western Union, you know, obviously I think they're tied up with Money Max. In particular.
Okay.
So that might appeal to you.
Now, can I open multiple wallets? Can I have a wallet with Sun Cash, a wallet with Omni, because I like, well, right, I like the one, the one where I also work with the Western Union. I like this one here because it works better onboarding money from my bank, right? So I can go from my bank through the digital wallet provider to put the cash, to put the money on my card. So I could have multiple.
Yes, you can. So you can have, so the wallets are tied to the phone number that you have.
Right.
And so you can have that phone number with any of the wallet providers. However, once you have your phone number connected to one wallet provider, you cannot have
a second account attached to that phone number.
Correct.
I have to get another phone.
Exactly. You can get another phone. So if you have two, or you have a work phone, you have, or you know, you have family members, you all have phones.
Right.
So
and so this is more viable with a tier one wallet that has no KYC, but if I'm getting a tier two wallet or a merchant wallet, I'm probably, it's going to be difficult to have multiple accounts in my name with different phone numbers, right?
Right. So again, with the tier one and tier two wallets, let's focus on those because those are traditionally
and they're called
your...
the basic, because I just want to make sure that we got and, the you right
know,
name.
We don't have custodial to... Custodial wallets and then your...
Basic and premium
wallets. So, if you think of it like that, right, as basic and premium, you can do almost the exact same things with both, right? A tier one, tier two, whether you think of it as basic or premium. Right now, your ability to link your bank account is tied to a tier two wallet. So if you want to seamlessly move money back and forth from your bank account to your Sand Dollar wallet, that requires right now a tier two wallet with that additional level of KYC. And again, you want to make sure that the person who's saying, oh, you know, I am Aaron Green and this is my bank account, you want to make sure this is Aaron Green with the digital wallet. So you want to make sure that information matches if you want to, you know, enable that movement of funds back and forth
without
the banking system. If you just want, again, a no-frills basic wallet, you know, you can open a tier one wallet if you're satisfied with that level of holdings. You can open a tier one. Now with the tier three and a merchant, we do have merchants who have multiple digital wallet providers. So again, if you are a merchant and you want both, you know, a Sand Dollar wallet from Canoe and you want one from Suncash and you want one from...
Right, because I want to be as accessible as possible for the consumer.
Right. Although we also want to emphasize Sand Dollar is interoperable. So it doesn't matter which one you have.
Right.
If I have a Omni wallet and you have a Canoe wallet, we can send Sand Dollar back and forth.
Okay.
No problems. Right.
Scratch that excuse.
So,
off
right. There's no need to worry about, you know, which one do I use because, oh, this is the more popular one. Sand Dollar is interoperable across all platforms. So again, it's do you have a specific need that a particular AFI can address with their proprietary wallet? That may prompt you to a particular AFI. If not, you're free to go with whichever one suits your fancy.
And we do. I know we do want to really encourage use of the one wallet provider because it can sometimes and that's the wonderful thing about Sand Dollar being interoperable, meaning that it is compatible with all of these digital wallets. But when you start having multiple machines at the checkout counter, it could create a lot of confusion.
Right. So for your cashiers.
For your cashiers.
For merchants.
Training and all of that.
We encourage one wallet provider.
One wallet provider.
Keep it simple.
Absolutely. Ms. Uri, we're about to go to a break.
Back
from the break.
I can wait.
You asked that question. We got to get into this literacy fair. We haven't talked about the incentives and giveaways. And me and you have to figure out how
I
we
like
could
giveaways.
Become Sand Dollar ambassadors.
Free things?
No, I mean... We'll be right back.
Okay.
You are on the clock. There'll be some things.
Things.
There'll be some things.
Okay.
You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back. Girl, you
You see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone, so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Remember the numbers to call to join the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. Look at the things you see when you are able to hop along to the studio. New signage and everything. And remember to keep texting the show, contribute to the conversation, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
We got a new phone number.
You see that, eh?
I didn't notice that.
Absolutely. Hold on, I got a couple more notes just to bring us back into the show. Grand Bahama and Family Island listeners, you've asked for it and it's here. The Guardian Radio toll-free call-in line.
Ah, that's
call us toll-free at 242-300-5720. That's what the number is, Mr. Nuri.
Look at that.
From anywhere in the Bahamas, outside of New Providence. In the Bahamas, but outside of New Providence. 242-300-5720 on the New Guardian Radio toll-free line. That's 242-300-5720. Listen, if you live just east, if you live just east of Andrus, you're still in New Providence. Even though you have to get a visa to go that far out of town, you're still in New Providence.
What about Adelaide? Are you still in New Providence in Adelaide?
You're still in New Providence. Even when you cross over the creek, you're still in New Providence.
Don't get reception, though. But anyway, I understand. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. The question is, if you're on Paradise Island,
look where you're going.
Are you still in New Providence? These are the questions, but not to be answered today. And I want to say to my audience, I'm sure there are lots of questions that you have that I can be honest, we will not be able to get to in this first show, right? And so what we're asking listeners to do is to write down all of your questions, think about them, maybe even Google a little bit so you could really expand on the question. And we're going to create a space where we're going to engage all of our audience and user questions, queries, concerns, recommendations for the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. We're going to try to get to as many as possible, and maybe even I could sneak a bit of Mr. Nuri's hour.
Yeah, man. I like money, and I see the benefit, especially being a descendant of a family island. First of all, I want to ask two full questions. My first question is about this fishing business I know of. I have a friend who has a fishing business out of Long Island, right? They tend to pay cash, right? But they find it a challenge now trying to get in the bank, because the bank don't allow you to get inside anymore, to get access to get cash. And this sand dollar thing seems to be the solution, right? You can pay out via sand dollar from your account just by using your phone, right? And I see the KYC, right? Mm-hmm. And I assume they could work through that issues and whatever it is, right? But how does a fisher person get access to sand dollar? I want that step-by-step account. And I know we started it by just downloading something, right? So let's do that again, please.
Yeah, so again, as Shiandra was saying, choose the app that, you know.
All right, so we're going to open up our phone.
Right, open up your phone.
If you're Android, you go into the Play Store. If you're Apple, you go into iOS.
Correct.
Fancy Apple people.
Right, if you search Sand Dollar, you'll see several options pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You will see the what we call the Sovereign Sand Dollar app, which is just, you know, branded as Sand Dollar. Then you will also see the proprietary apps from the likes of Canoe, Sun Cash, Island Pay, MoneyMax, Mobile Assist.
And they are called digital wallet providers,
they are your
right?
digital wallet providers. Right. Exactly. So those entities are authorized to issue out Sand Dollar and provide you with a digital wallet.
All right.
So you choose whichever digital wallet you want to use. And once you open it up, you follow the instructions. It'll give you a few prompts, you know, to, you know, set up the app.
Mm-hmm.
You will have to, you know, put in a code, a password. They will guide you through that process.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, downloading any other app to your phone, and setting it up. And once you have set it up, you can then move to topping up your account and putting funds on your account. And there are various ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it over the counter at a physical location.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can go into a Cash and Go, let's say, or an Omni location and give them $100 and say, here's my Sand Dollar
mm-hmm.
wallet. Your wallet will generate a QR code, or it may generate, provide you with an alias, you know, so you can be Aaron Green at sanddollar.bs, mm-hmm. for example. And that person, that agent at that establishment will take your physical cash and put that money on your digital wallet.
It's very similar to topping up minutes on your phone, like when you go into the store and you, I want $10
will we
on my...
see mm-hmm. that service available on these little orange boxes, these little quick boxes that I use
you,
to top up my phone?
You're already, we're seeing that being rolled out. There are a few of the digital wallet providers in particular. Have a network of these kind of kiosks.
Right,
kiosks.
So you can, you know, be downtown or in the mall or, you know, wherever they have one, and you can do the same thing. Put that money in, that mm-hmm. cash in to the machine, give it your Sand Dollar information, whether that's, you know, scan the QR code on your phone or, mm-hmm. or punch in your
phone number.
Your phone number or your digital wallet alias. And again, it will apply those funds to the wallet. So for that Fisher person, once they have their wallet set up, now they can tell, you know, their boss or the owner of the boat or whoever is paying them, the customer even, here's my digital wallet. If you are face-to-face, you can show the QR code that populates. You know, I'm happy to pull up mine and just give you a quick look at how that looks. It's literally, you know, I'm going to go to receive Sand Dollar. And it's going to generate a QR code. Just like this,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and you can scan this QR code, and it is going to say, okay, this is Brett Lashley's Sand Dollar wallet, and you can say, okay, send him $100 for fish.
Easy as that?
Easy as that. And one of the great things, and one of my favorite things about Sand Dollar is it's instant credit to your wallet. You know, with a bank account, you got to give someone your bank account details and make sure you don't get the number wrong and
yeah.
make sure you don't mix up your branch.
And importantly, look here, you have to put together a protocol for passwords. You got to remember your passwords. You have to keep them safe. You have mm-hmm. to keep them hidden, and you have to remember them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I love about this, I've set mine up with facial recognition. So, you know, I don't even need to remember my password. I have a 4-digit PIN to protect my wallet. But it also recognizes my face. So that Fisher person can now say, well, send me, just scan this QR code and send me the funds. If we are not in the same location, I can tell my customer or my boss, my alias is Brett Lashley at sanddollar.bs. Just type that in
mm-hmm.
and send me my money. Easy as that. I'm going to get it literally. It takes about 2 seconds to say, you know, funds received.
And you have money on that now?
I do right mm-hmm. now. I can.
I have mine. So you can send me some money just for tests. Just a test. It. You can send me like $25.
Yes,
yeah. You know, one of the great things. You can send. There's no minimum. You had asked earlier if there's minimum. I could send you 1 cent. And mm-hmm. there's no charge. There's no fee. I could send you a bunch of 1 cent transactions and say, you know, as a cent, you know, a penny for your thoughts.
Look at Valentine's Day for next year. Yes, ma'am, Miss Eden.
So I just wanted to go back to the top-up methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we talked about over-the-counter.
Right.
similar to topping up your minutes on your phone. Another way is the bank being able to connect your bank account mm-hmm. and your debit card. Mm-hmm. So for persons who do have a bank account and debit card, they can connect it to their digital wallet and transfer funds into their wallet. So, mm-hmm. for example, at, I believe, I'm trying to remember whether it was Jollification or Wine and Art, yeah. but I was speaking to a merchant mm-hmm. who, again, you know, it's very costly for small micro merchants mm-hmm. to be able to have the credit card terminals. And so she had a customer who came up and wanted to, wanted to shop with her, and the customer was able to just transfer money from their card onto their wallet and then pay the merchant right then and there. So even though she couldn't accept Visa and MasterCard, the right. customer had sand dollars and had their bank account connected, and they were able to transfer funds into their wallet and pay that merchant. Yeah. So mm-hmm.
so that leads me to question this, right? The benefits of having a sand dollar account.
Yeah.
We, as Acklin Islanders, we're going to call Aaron into this, right? When we go on our festivals, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes the credit card machines mm-hmm. be down, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And I want to know, what's the benefit of having sand dollar?
Well, that's a key one right there, right? There's less infrastructure required. Anyone with a phone, and just about everyone has a phone right now, mm-hmm. right? Can have a sand dollar wallet. And I just want to clarify, we call them wallets rather than accounts.
Yep.
So this is a wallet, just like the wallet in your pocket. Anyone can open up a sand dollar wallet. The infrastructure requirement is minimal compared to a Visa, MasterCard terminal that you have to get from a commercial bank. You can set this up on your phone, and now you have a means to accept digital payments. Obviously, accepting digital payments over cash has some benefits. Mm-hmm. You reduce your cash footprint, which can make you a target, right? If you are a merchant and the guy on the corner knows, oh, people coming in and out of this store all day, mm-hmm. you're making a lot of money, you are now a target if you are a cash-only business, because at the end of the day, you've amassed all this cash. What are you going to do with it?
And even if you have a security, mm-hmm. money security service, mm-hmm. they're not there guarding the money.
Right. And that has cost, right? Yeah. So for a business that deals primarily in cash, if you think about it, as you receive the cash from a customer, you're putting that in a till. Mm-hmm. You have that threat or that risk of someone coming in off the street and trying mm-hmm. to take that from you. You also have the risk of employees stealing by reason of employment. Yes. They can take that from you. At the end of the day or at the end of the shift, that cashier has to come and reconcile and, cash out. You probably have a safe in the back office. You're going to take all the cash out of the till and hold it there. You're going to prepare a deposit, and you're either going to, again, arrange with, your armored car service company to come and collect that and carry it to the bank, or you're going to take that risk yourself and try to do that drop off on your own, which obviously has its risks. Mm-hmm. You then have to worry about maintaining the correct balance of cash, right? You need to be able to make change for your customers throughout the day, but you don't want to hold on to so much cash that it becomes a risk or a liability for you. So there are all these costs associated with cash that sand dollar can help relieve. Then you spoke to the credit card machine not working, yeah. right? Especially if you are in Auckland or some family island that does not have a physical location of a commercial bank where you can quickly get this resolved. They're going to tell you, oh, maybe next week someone can come and fix this. Or the ATM is out of cash, or the ATM has malfunctioned and mm-hmm. needs to be serviced. Now what do? You cannot get any cash. Here, again, is a means that you can continue to transact. The small mom and pop shop can set up a digital wallet.
So the technical issues that can occur in mm-hmm. any type of system, and then we acknowledge the shrinking footprint of commercial banks, shrinking footprint. They just are no locations where you are. Ms. Newton?
Yeah, I also want to mention, because I worked in retail management for many years, and I know one of the sort of frustrations is at the end of the day, time and the time it takes to be able to reconcile. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going over time because the cashiers mm-hmm. are there, they're yeah. going in the back, and it's not adding up, and so there's time. And so yeah. time is one right. of the big benefits.
With your SanDollar wallet, I can see a history of all of my transactions. Mm-hmm. I can keep scrolling back and back yeah. and see that, you know, yesterday I received some money from a coworker. A couple of days ago, I was at the Central Bank cafeteria. I can see all my transactions.
I love this as a parent. I have right. to go and adopt a children so I can feel this authority. But listen, we're going to close the show out, and okay. I want to say thank you for agreeing to continue the conversation into the second hour. We've got lots to talk about. I want to continue that list of reasons why the SanDollar, yeah. right? It's a long list. You guys, it's great to be back in studio after this Easter holiday weekend. I'd like to thank Mr. Brett Lashley and Ms. Chiandra Newton for joining us from the SanDollar Adoption Unit from the Central Bank. And they're going to continue the conversation with us in the second hour with Guardian Radio AM and Cecil Newry. Thank you, producer. Let's go to this break. Have a great day.